Psalm, Psalm 119. We'll begin in verse 89 in a minute. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to see you here and see that your mind is set on spiritual things. We all know you could be somewhere else, but you chose to be here today. And I'm so happy to be with you here to worship our Lord and to study His Word. Psalm 119 and verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances, for all are Your servants. Unless Your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have given me life." That verse in verse 93 is what we want to focus on. The title of the lesson this morning is Things to Remember. Here in verse 93 he says, "I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have given me life." God's commands and God's Word gives us life. These things that are written in this book are for us to apply to our lives and to teach to others. These are things we must remember and we must not forget. For if we remember and we are faithful to these things, then we can be pleasing to God and obedient to Him and ultimately receive that crown of life which is promised to us. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" We are to remember our Creator. We are to remember God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of this earth that we live on, that we walk on, the things around us, this nature, our brethren that we have. He has created. He has given us life, and all blessings are from Him. And we owe it to Him to remember these things, and to remember how powerful and awesome He is. He deserves our praise. Not that He needs it, but we are obligated to give it to Him. For He is the Creator of all things and all powerful, and He has given us life. If you would turn to the 8th Psalm, Psalm 8. In verses 4 through 9, we read about how God has remembered us. We should remember Him anyway, but He has remembered us, and that's just another reason that we should remember Him. Psalm 8 and verses 4 through 9 says, "What is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You visit him? For You have made him a little lower than the angels, and You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of Your hands, and You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, O Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth." God has remembered us. We are so lowly and imperfect beings, and we sin against Him and rebel against Him. And yet He still offers that forgiveness for us. And He remembers us, and that He gave all these things that He's created to be under us in our command. These birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the beasts of the field He has given to us for our use on this earth. Acts 17 and verse 28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of you of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring." God offers us that life. He offers us to be able to come to Him and call Him Father, to address Him in prayer. And we owe our remembrance to Him. And we owe our praise to Him. James 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." All these blessings that we have come from God. Whether we deserve it or not, He gives it to us. And He blesses us every day. And we owe Him everything. And we owe Him our remembrance of Him. If you would turn to Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, we read of the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. Without Him, that we would have no hope of heaven. Without Him, we would have no chance. But He has given us these spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, to which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." God has remembered us, and that He sent His Son for us. That sacrifice that ultimately brings us salvation if we are obedient to it. He's predestined us to be sons of His if we are obedient to Him. If we abide by that sacrifice, if we live by that sacrifice. In verse 4, it says, "He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." We owe God our lives. We owe God our undivided attention, our full service to Him. We owe Him our love and our obedience. We must remember Him. If you would turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We see here that God remembers us and that He wants us to pray for all men, not just the brethren, but all men everywhere. In verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God loves us all, and He remembers us all. He offers all everywhere that truth, that salvation through His Son. And He expects us to come to that knowledge and to obey Him. He cares for us and He remembers us, and we should remember Him. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" We should remember God, remember our Creator in the days of our youth. When we're young, times aren't hard. Everything's easy. We don't have many responsibilities, and it's such a great time to be able to focus fully on the Lord. If we remember Him when we're young, when the days grow hard, when those different distractions come about and temptations that we are faced with come about, if we remember God, if we set that foundation when we're young, we're going to remember Him in those times. And we're going to have that conscience to tell us what is wrong and what is right. And we're going to remember His commandments and know what it is to be obedient to them. Luke 2 and verse 42 is talking about Jesus when He was young. We all remember when He was with His parents and He went to the temple and they didn't know where He was. Luke 2 and verse 42 says, "And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast." And then we skip down to verse 49. When they were seeking Him and they finally found Him, He said to them, "Why did you seek Me? Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?" Jesus understood. Jesus had that in His heart from a young age. He knew what His obligation was, what His responsibility was on this earth, to serve God, keep His commandments. Jesus was diligent in learning God's Word. He was diligent in presenting Himself to prove to God. We should be the same. We should be about our Father's business. We should always have that in our minds and our hearts. And with that, we are to remember the words of Christ. Acts 20 and verse 35 says, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Also in John 15 and verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. We are to remember the words of Christ. Christ's words give us life. Christ's words are what we are commanded to obey. And we must remember them. We must listen to them. If you would turn to the book of John. John chapter 1. We'll be skipping around in John for the next few verses. So if you would just turn with me there and follow through these scriptures with me. These are some reasons we must remember Christ's words. In John 1 and verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Christ's words give us life. The Word is Christ, the Word is God, and we should remember Him. In chapter 14 and verse 6 of John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to salvation. He is the truth and the life. And without Him, we cannot come to the Father. Without Him, we don't have that relationship with God. We must remember His words. Chapter 8, verse 31. Chapter 8 and verse 31, we see Jesus telling the disciples, Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we must listen to His words, but we must abide in them. If we abide in them, then we are His disciples. We can hear His word and not obey it. We can hear His word and reject it and go about the ways of the world. But if we hear His words and abide in them, then we are His disciples, and we have that hope of heaven, that truth will make us free. In chapter 17, John 17, in verses 15 through 17, we read Jesus praying for His disciples. And here in verse 15, He says, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Jesus praying for His disciples here. Tells them not to take, He asks not to take them out of the world, because He understands that we have a responsibility to be in this world as shining lights to this world, to be the salt of the earth, and to teach those who do not know the truth. But He understands that the truth will sanctify us and will protect us from the evil in this world. And we see that here in John 17. And finally in chapter 12, John 12 and verse 48, we read what will happen if we reject Christ's words and that we choose not to remember Christ's words. John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken him will judge him in the last day." So these words that Christ speaks, His commands and His precepts, will judge us in the last day. That's even more important that we remember them now, that we will be judged by them. He gives us these commands and He expects us to follow them. And this means we spend time with the Word. This means that we are diligent to study the Word, to show ourselves approved, to fill our minds with these things, to meditate on these things. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're to be diligent and study these things. This is the most important thing we have in this life, is the Bible. These commands from our Savior, our Lord and Savior Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." We all remember that time when we come up out of the water, when we were first baptized, that feeling we had. We were on fire for the Lord. we had that desire in our hearts. We wanted to learn. And that should be evident in our lives now. Even as time has passed, we should always have that fire, that desire for the Lord. If you would turn to Hebrews 5, we just quoted in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. And that is good and right. We must desire that milk of the Word when we are newborn babes. But we remember the spiritual immaturity in chapter 5 of Hebrews. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We must not be content with just the pure milk of the Word. We must go deeper into the Word, receive that meat, and apply it to our lives. We must be diligent to grow as Christians. We must meditate on these things and give ourselves to them, so that we know how to defend ourselves in this world against the evil one. Psalm 119 and verses 15 and 16 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Just like the psalmist says here, we should meditate on God's commands, on his word, on Christ's words. We should not forget them. It is by these things that we have life. It is by these things that we have hope. And it's the most important thing that we have. And we should remember it. We should remember Christ's words. And as well as Christ's words, we should remember his death. By his death, we have that life. He died and he was raised that third day and overcame death. And because he has, we can as well. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Jesus was tortured for us. He bled and he was beaten for us. He died for us on that cross, that cruel death. And on top of that, he bore our sins. He was perfect, without spot or blemish. He was that perfect sacrifice, and he didn't deserve anything that he went through. But he did it for us. Galatians 1 and verse 3 through 4 says, "Grace to you and peace from God." Excuse me. "Grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." Romans 5 and verse 8 says, "God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We sin and fall short. We rebel against Christ. But he loves all of us. He died for us. And we owe it all to him, to worship him and be obedient toward him, because he offers us life and salvation through his Son. He is the only means of redemption of sins. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, we read that according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. But then we read in chapter 10 and verse 4, "It is not possible that blood of bulls and goats could take away our sins." Throughout the old law, there were sacrifices of bulls and goats, but those could not take away sins. But we read in verse 10 of chapter 10 in Hebrews, that by this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And in verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. We know that Jesus is the only way that we could have forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross for our sins. He was that perfect sacrifice, something that bulls and goats could not take away. But the blood of Christ washes away our sins and gives us that salvation. And the Lord's Supper helps us remember these things. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read of the institution of the Lord's Supper. This is something we do every Lord's Day. And I'm sad to say and afraid to say that sometimes I think we just go through the motions. And this becomes old hat to us. Because we do it every Sunday. We do it every Lord's Day. It's something that we just take for granted sometimes, I think. I've heard someone say in a denomination that they don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. They do it once a month or Easter or just whenever it's convenient for them. Because they don't want to make it something just common, something that's, that doesn't mean much. But we should be careful to understand that the Lord's Supper is something so important, something that we're commanded to do, and something that should be in our minds, not only on Sundays, on the first day of the week, but throughout the week. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Don't forget what these emblems mean, what they stand for. Christ's body that was broken for us. And his blood that was shed on the cross that washes away our sins. He didn't have to do this. But he did. He did it for us. Because he loves us. And it's so important to remember that each and every day of our lives. And the Lord's Supper helps us remember that. So we are to always remember the truth that we have received. We are to remember these things that have been commanded to us. These things that are in the Bible that we read of. These things that are inspired by God that help us to prove ourselves to God and to be unspotted from the world, to be sanctified in that truth. We are to remember all these things. We are to remember our Creator. We are to remember the words of Christ, and we are to remember His death and what it means for us. Keep God constantly in your mind. Always remember Him throughout your daily lives, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're just doing your daily activities. Remember Christ and think about that before you do anything. And that will ultimately help you with sin, with that temptation. If we remember Christ, we are not going to do those things, those evil things which the old man does, that old man that we've put away. But if you remember Christ, you will remember his commands and what he's done for us. And that's going to mean a lot when you come to face those trials and temptations. The lesson is yours. We'll now have a word of prayer before we dismiss to our classes.